Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Guess who's back?
Hit the drop.
This water!
This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'd like to know if there's a squealer on this plane. I'd like to know who it is.
Today's guests, CBS Sports college basketball reporter Seth Davis, host of the Ross Tucker football podcast, Ross Tucker, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live in Los Angeles, California, and I'm back from my trip. As you know, it's a vacation when you go with your significant other. It's a trip when you go with your children. And I'm thrilled to be back here in the chair of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, 70-plus affiliate stations and stronger every single day, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. I want to thank the gentleman who sat in this chair last week so Susan and I and the kids can go get to know one another once again.
We survived the zip line.
We did survive the zip lining. By the way, great album. One of my favorite albums of all time.
Did the boss play that on Saturday night?
The boss did not play Surviving the Zip Lining last night.
I
did last night.
Nice, Rich. Yeah, I almost went last night.
Thanks for following, Mike. You're too busy posting your big smile on. By the way, Susie thinks you and little Stevie look exactly alike.
We can be brothers. There's no question.
Mike, we need you in a bandana.
She did not stop talking about that during the broadcast, during the concert last night. That's it's funny. Like you were sitting with us, Mike. But at any rate, I want to thank Kirk Morrison. I want to thank Jim Jackson and David Sampson for sitting in this chair last week. And I want to thank all of you for hanging with us here over the next 3 hours. We've got college basketball on the brain. Seth Davis of CBS is going to join us in less than 20 minutes' time to preview tonight's action. Coach Cal has moved on again. He's moved on. It's kind of crazy to say again since he's been in Kentucky for 15 years, but he's now the head coach of Arkansas basketball. And we'll talk about that with Seth Davis, one of my favorite humans on the planet. Stacey Dales, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, will join us not just to tell us what she knows about the Bears team that she covers, with the Bears going to be on the clock in just a couple of Thursdays from now, but she will join us mostly as the former third overall pick of the 2002 WNBA draft, the former Washington Mystic and Oklahoma Sooner greats, going to join us to talk about what we saw out of South Carolina knocking off Caitlin Clark in Iowa in the women's college basketball national championship game yesterday. Ross Tucker is in studio. He's in town for the NFL Media Group's broadcast boot camp that churned out Jason Kelce last year. How'd that work out for the boot camp?
Yeah, well done.
And Gerald McCoy as well, my colleague from the NFL Game Day Morning crew as well. Ross is going to be joining us. Albert Breer in hour number three. There's a total eclipse that's happening for much of the United States. So we've got a fun segment settled for all of that. TJ Jefferson is currently landing on a plane from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for our Roku channel audience, seeing an empty chair, radio audience. It's not a metaphor. He's coming back from WrestleMania Extra Large, where it was all on and cracking last night. The Undertaker returned.
If the lights go out, just be careful. You guys, you're safe. I just want to let you know you're safe if the lights go out.
Roman Reigns' reign is over. Our friend, our longtime friend, Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes finally finished his story and raised the belt last night.
So we'll talk about all that with TJ when he finally lands, figuratively, the plane. And we all know nobody would dare recline their seat in front of him.
Oh, I'm dying to hear if that happened.
Anyway, there was the Curb finale last night as well. We'll assume tape, as Larry would probably assume for 24
Didn't
hours. We
yet.
Won't discuss it. But good to see you, Christopher.
Hey, Rich, welcome back,
good
man.
To
good
see you. And DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Good to see you, Rich.
Good to see you as well.
Let's get after
844-204-RICH, number to dial on this day of the total eclipse, that solar eclipse. We'll ask ourselves the question, what sports moment would you like to have eclipsed out of your life?
Oh, I know one.
And memory bank. So we'll be hitting that again in hour number three. But let's start this show with dominance on college basketball. Tonight we have an opportunity to see UConn go back-to-back, which is extremely rare. Alabama actually is coming within 14 points, giving a team a scare. I guess when they're defending champions after winning a national championship last year by dominating its opponents by a grand total of 20 points a game on average, and then you win by just 14 points an Alabama team losing 86-72. It's UConn's, that was their 11th straight NCAA tournament victory by at least 13 points. How about that?
Wagon.
So, and tonight, if they can take care of business against Purdue and 7'4" Zach Edey, who turned DJ Burns Jr. into what looked like just a point guard, and Purdue coming off of last year's shocking disappointment of being the second team in the history of the NCAA of losing to a 16 seed as a one seed, and they turned it around. They turned that frown upside down. They're going to try and win a national championship tonight against a UConn team that is just as dominant as ever. And then in the women's game, name me a more dominant team that we have seen than the South Carolina Gamecocks that took care of business against Caitlin Clark and Iowa. Name me a team that has gone ahead in the last, say, quarter century that loses every single one of their starters from a Final Four team and then wins a national championship the next year. You can't name me another one. There isn't one this century. South Carolina losing 5 starters last year, including Aaliyah Boston, who wound up being the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft last year. And then Camila Cardoso, who is going to the WNBA draft in just a few days from now. She's the most outstanding player of the Final Four. 15 points, 17 boards. That's a career high for her. Fifth player in the Final Four of the last quarter century, since we're saying things since 2000, to have at least 15 and 15, a national championship game. And Dawn Staley, my goodness gracious, the former two-time, I guess if you can't be a former, you're a two-time player of the year from her collegiate days herself. 3 Final Four appearances, no titles for her as a player. She's got 3 titles now as a coach. And this South Carolina team, again, last year, undefeated until they ran into Caitlin Clark and Iowa, losing to them. And then losing every single one of their starters, and then watching Caitlin Clark drop 18 in the first quarter on them. And that's when they began to assert their dominance defensively, and keeping the ball out of Clark's hands and using their strength and their length and their outstanding determination to overcome Iowa and what they were throwing at South Carolina in the first quarter, and then just asserting their clear dominance. They were clearly the better team. They were clearly the deeper team. They were clearly the national champions in one of the most compelling, most watched women's basketball season we've ever seen at the collegiate level, and maybe anywhere, quite frankly. And that'll be a question that we'll pose with Caitlin Clark moving on herself. But the South Carolina women's national champions are the 10th undefeated team in the history as Dawn Staley, a history of the sport, as Dawn Staley becomes the 5th head coach with 3 national titles under her belt. And I say congratulations to them. That is what we call dominant. And this is what she had to say. Well, before we get to this soundbite here, let me turn the page figuratively and literally on my book that I have in front of me. The question you've been hearing for weeks, because yes, Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes last year beat South Carolina, handed South Carolina its only loss last year. And South Carolina, by the way, having won 3 national championships in 7 years and 2 out of the last 3. In the last 3 years, you know what their record is? 109-3. Okay. But one of those 3 was to Caitlin Clark.
Silly.
Which, you know, in Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes then lost to LSU. And this year, Iowa beats LSU and UConn to get to South Carolina and loses to them. So that's 2 now national championship game appearances for Caitlin Clark in a row in which she is a runner-up. And leading into this run, leading into this tournament, the question was, does she need to win a national championship to cement her legacy as an all-time great? I have kind of sat on the sideline of this entire conversation. Now I'll insert myself into the conversation. That's insane. Did she need to win a national championship in order for her to be considered, how about this as the obvious, a national champion? Yes. That's what you have to do to be that.
Yeah.
Do you need that in your arsenal to be considered an all-time great? No. Do you need that to be in your arsenal in terms of being the all-time greatest of all time? No. I don't believe so. Ask anybody who's rooted for Dan Marino. Ask anybody who is rooted for fill in the blank of anybody that went through their entire careers without winning at all. Would it be nice? Would that be a cherry on top? Of course it would be. Let's be honest. We love champions in this crazy American sports world. We love it. But what she did and what she has left her mark on the game, just to quickly throw it out here. You've heard it before, but I want to put it all out here. More points than any player in the history of Division I basketball, men's or women's. We saw her break that record just a couple of weeks ago. The only Division I women's player with 3,000 points or more and 1,000 assists or more in her playing career. And she wound up with 990 career rebounds. She was 10 rebounds shy of a triple quadruple in her career. And she did it for a program that had only made one single Final Four prior to her arrival since the early 1990s. She stayed home. She went to Iowa. And she did it in a spot where very few people have ever been able to do it. 28.42 points per game, 548 three-pointers. Those are Division I all-time records. This past year, 201 threes, 1,234 points. Those are single-season records. And then what she's done to bring attention to the game. The UConn-Iowa game that took place Friday night averaged 14.2 million viewers, peaked at 17 million viewers. Those are insane television ratings. Those are off the charts. The largest audience for an ESPN basketball broadcast. And ESPN has been broadcasting the NBA since 2002. It is the again, since 2002. ESPN has been broadcasting the National Basketball Association. It's the largest audience for an ESPN basketball broadcast, eclipsing Game 7 of the 2018 Eastern Conference Finals. You remember this game, Chris? Cavs versus Celtics?
I was there.
13.5 million. The 14.2 million average rating would rank 32nd on the list of the top 50 rated primetime programs of last year. And it's not just that. It's just, let me just read these off too. The only higher non-football broadcast number from ESPN, but the NFL, you know, we all know rules the day. Only higher non-football broadcast number from ESPN is the U.S. Portugal group play match in the 2014 World Cup. The last NBA game with just at least 14 million viewers at all was Game 6 of the 2022 NBA Finals. So in other words, the ratings from Friday night. And UConn has a lot to do with this, too. UConn is an insanely popular program. They're like the men's Duke, men's basketball Duke. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they're the Duke of men's basketball. Or women's basketball, I would imagine. So a lot of people love UConn. A lot of people hate watch UConn and Geno. Yep, yep. Paige Buckers as well, you know, is pretty amazing. To put this all in perspective, every World Series game last year, every NBA Finals game last year, every Daytona 500 since 2013, every Masters Final Round viewership since 2013, all but five college football games in 2023, lesser rating than this game. And before it, South Carolina played NC State in the other women's national semifinal. That did a 7 million rating. That's the third most watched women's national semi since 1992. So people were getting settled in their chairs to watch a game that had nothing to do with UConn and Iowa. Obviously, South Carolina has its following. Dawn Staley, in her post-game comments, mentioned Caitlin Clark. Hit it.
I want to just say congratulations to Iowa and Caitlin for making it back to the national championship game. Obviously, they are a formidable opponent that took everything that we had to win the basketball game, but just don't want to not utilize this opportunity to thank Caitlin for what she's done for women's basketball. Like, her shoulders were heavy and getting a lot of eyeballs on our game. And sometimes, as a young person, it could be a bit much, but I thought she handled it with class. And I hope that every step of the ladder of success that she goes, she's able to elevate whatever room she's in. But I'm super excited to share this moment with our team. They are incredible human beings and young people who trusted, believed, figured out a way to help each other learn and grow and ultimately become champions.
Dawn Staley saying what I think everybody was thinking, or at least I would like to think that. So to Caitlin Clark, thank you, and good luck with what a lot of people are now expecting of you at the next level, the WNBA. And if she can bring more eyeballs there, all I know is my daughter, Taylor, when we asked her, do you want to go when Caitlin Clark comes to town, I don't remember the last time she's like, yes, please take me to an LA Sparks game. But she wants to go. And I believe the Las Vegas Aces have already announced that they're going to be playing their first game against Caitlin Clark's future team in a much larger arena than the one they play in. So good luck to you, Caitlin Clark, and thank you. Thank you for all these great moments and memories. And congratulations to South Carolina. Let's take a break. We come back. Let's talk about tonight's men's national championship game and Coach Cal being an Arkansas Razorback. Seth Davis, and after Seth, we'll have Stacey Dales zoom in and talk about Caitlin Clark's legacy, as well as how well she thinks she will do at the next level. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Seth Davis is going to join us, then Stacey Dales right after that. And then Ross Tucker in studio. We've got an overreaction Monday. There's an eclipse that's supposed to be happening. Is it supposed to get dark behind us? Or no?
We'll see a little.
We're not in the...
I think we're not in the, zone. Like, key zone. Yeah, it kind of goes like northeast down through Texas. Yeah.
Is that right?
It's kind of like...
Are you our eclipse expert? Are you an expert in eclipses? That I wouldn't know, because, I mean, you're an expert on everything.
What do we think, Chris? Could I?
Well, you've been around for more eclipses than anyone else in this building.
True, I got you by a few years,
so,
Rich.
You know, got that on us.
Right.
I actually was scared to look at the first one that I ever saw when I was a kid, because we were told if we go out there, we're going to melt.
Right.
Melt?
Yes, that was what we were told.
What do you mean you're told you're going to melt?
Like, if we went out like and looked at the sun.
Well, you're not supposed to look at
an
eclipse.
They're like, so my friend went out. Nothing happened. We then all followed him out. We're like, okay, we're good.
Hold on, let me look at I found a Peak Times article.
Yeah, I've been told it's 2:07 Eastern and 1:07 Central, and 11:00 in the morning here.
Do you want me to go out?
Depending on
Depending
on where you are, you may experience daylight transitioning to dusk for a duration of 4.5 minutes.
Wow.
Oh.
So that's kind of like San Antonio, Dallas.
Okay. Okay.
Little Rock. Maybe Cal is in there, you know, down there getting the first look.
So are you saying in Dallas, I'm going to say it even though TJ's not here and this is for my benefit. In Dallas, the moon's going all in on the sun? Is that what it is?
I think so.
Thank you. Moon's going all in.
Moon's going
all in. Well, actually, no, that's not in Dallas because... It's not the definition of all in.
We need
Dallas,
Jimmy in San Antonio to call in. Give us.
I've been having fun with this for weeks now. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He stopped by to give us a preview of the NCAA tournament now on the day of the national championship game. Joining us from Arizona, CBS and Turner Sports, Seth Davis. How are you, Seth?
Doing all right, Rich. End of the road here, man.
It is
a great season and a great tournament. And we have the matchup that we've been wanting for a very long time. So I'm psyched.
And so let's jump into it. I mean, Purdue going from being one and done last year, losing to a 16 seed and now making it to the final game against UConn. What do they have, do you think, that can shock the world tonight?
Well, first of all, it's really amazing when you think about, you know, the notion of a one seed losing to a 16. It was like the last thing in sports that hadn't happened. And now it's happened twice. And both times it happened, the team that lost went to the national championship game the next year. So there's a lot of poetry in that. There's a lot of life lessons in that. A lot of luck in that, both good luck and bad luck. You know, Purdue clearly obviously has a puncher's chance in this game. Two reasons come to mind. First and foremost, quite clearly, is the big maple, Zach Edey, 7'4", 280 pounds. I've been saying throughout the tournament, the most significant facet in the NCAA tournament is Zach Edey's ability to draw fouls. He does it better than any player in the country. And so you always have a chance. You know he's going to get you 20 and 12 just by rolling out of bed. He has a chance to go for 40, but he has a chance to significantly alter what you do as the opponent because of that ability to draw fouls. So he's obviously a problem. Now UConn does have a player in Donovan Clingan who's better suited to guard Edie than any player in the country, especially the way that he's been playing over these last few weeks. So that's obviously the matchup that we're all going to be looking for. And then, you know, something I'm not sure the casual fan really appreciates about Purdue is that all season long, they've been the best three-point shooting team in the country by percentage. I think technically they're second right now, but, you know, they were terrific on Saturday night against North Carolina State from three. And they have a lot of different guys, Rich, who can make three-pointers. They, you know, have anywhere between four and seven, depending on the game, guys who are able to make threes. So when you have the immovable object inside in Zach Edey, and then you surround him with all of these great shooters, they could have, you know, one of these really good shooting nights that makes them very difficult to defend. So they can control the tempo, go to Edey, get UConn's front court guys into foul trouble, and then shoot efficiently from three-point range. The final thing would be taking care of the basketball, which they did a very poor job of on Saturday night. So those would be the three keys of the game, I think, for Purdue.
Yeah, and the photograph we had just showed of Edey and against NC State, and he's the only human being who could turn DJ Burns Jr. into Muggsy Bogues, right? I mean, look at that.
It's, yeah.
It's absolutely remarkable how, and again, anybody who might be surfing into the men's national championship game tonight, you could tell Edey the minute he just enters the screen who he is. So what is Dan Hurley's plan here? Just run a bunch of people at him? Or what do you think tonight, Seth?
Well, he's got the personnel for it now. I mean, like you talk about DJ Burns, he's listed at, I think, 6'9", 260. Well, not 260, obviously.
Right.
So if he's 6'9", he's probably actually 6'8". I mean, Zach Edey is actually 7'4". And so that's 7 inches. That's a big deal. Donovan Clingan, 7'2". And he's, you know, not giving up a ton of weight to Zach Edey. And he's far more agile, especially in terms of his defensive ability. So, you know, one thing that you do about Edey, you know, people talk about stopping him. How do you guard him? Well, a big way to counter him is to make him guard you. And Donovan Clingan's ability to come out and play screens and set screens for UConn's guards, that puts the opposing big man in a really tenuous situation. Now, normally Matt Painter plays what, you know, we call drop coverage, which means that the man who is guarding the screener, in this case Clingan, hangs back. But that means that that opens things up for UConn's guards, both for shooting and for driving. So that becomes a big time problem, making Zach Edey guard in space. But beyond that, you know, Clingan is 7'2". They also have Samson Johnson, who's a 6'10" forward coming off the bench. They have a lot of guys who can help. So it's a schematic thing. You kind of crowd Edey's space. Again, you're not going to hold them to 8 points, but you also don't want them to get 40. And you want to be able to guard him in a way that doesn't completely leave open those 3-point shooters. So if you had to tilt in one direction, Rich, you know, I'm not great at math, but I do think that three is more than two. So you kind of almost let Edey get his and then stay at home on the 3-point shooters. But, you know, UConn's size advantage really translates even more so to the perimeter. Stephon Castle, their freshman, he's 6'6". Tristan Newton is 6'4". Cam Spencer is 6'4". So their guards are bigger than all of Purdue's guards on the perimeter. That's a very troublesome proposition for Purdue, because if you look at the way that NC State guarded them, Braden Smith, Purdue's sophomore point guard, has had an outstanding season, had probably his worst game of the year going up against those NC State guards who did a really good job on him.
Seth Davis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's say UConn does win tonight and does its usual thing, wins by double digits again, right? And I mean, that might have been one of Alabama's greatest.
Which I think is going to happen, by the way. I mean, I think UConn's going to win significantly, but go ahead.
So I mean, you could say one of Alabama's greatest achievements over the weekend was they actually threatened on occasion single digits, right? And so where does this put UConn if they do this and pull it off tonight as you expect? Where do you place this UConn teams?
Among the most dominant, you know, it's when we compare eras, you know, you're comparing them with, you know, 96 Kentucky, 92 Duke, 73 UCLA. You know, you can really go back in history, but to me, it's more significant comparing them against their current competition, right? Comparing them against the teams that they're playing now. They won last year's NCAA tournament by 20 points a game, 20.0. Like, that's literally average. This year, I think it's 23 or 24. And the thing that's astounding, I think I said this last time, Rich, is they have a whole new team. I mean, the two teams that have repeated since UCLA did it were Duke 91-92, Florida 2006-2007. Both teams basically returned intact. UConn lost three starters from last year's national champs. They lost five of their top eight scorers. And so for them to return, and they've had a better season. Last year's team was the number four seed, did not win the Big East regular season, did not win the Big East tournament. So this team will absolutely go down in history as one of the all-time greats if they win tonight. And this stretch of what they're doing and what Dan Hurley has done, I mean, he's basically put himself in the Hall of Fame. They win this game tonight, regardless almost of what he does the rest of his career. So it's hard enough to repeat when you have the same players. For him to be able to do this with a totally different team and actually be better, I mean, I don't know that there's a historical parallel in the last 50 years to what's happening.
Seth Davis, CBS, Turner Sports, getting ready for the national championship game tonight right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, Seth, I did not see Andy Enfield leaving USC for SMU, starting a domino effect that leads to John Calipari winding up in Arkansas, but such is life. What the hell is basically my question for you and your two cents on that?
Well, you got to go before then, because SMU blew a lead in their conference tournament and lost a game, and the school fired Rob Lanier only after 2 years, which is really not cool. I mean, you don't. Whatever, it happened. So that was the first domino. That was what we were kind of all saying last night. Like, when SMU fired Rob Lanier, not like anybody paid any attention to that. Yeah. Who could have imagined how the dominoes would go into effect? It starts with, first of all, SMU's going into the ACC next year, because we all know that Dallas is on the Atlantic coast, as apparently Stanford and Cal is now on the Atlantic coast. This is college athletics. They put a lot of money at Andy Enfield, who was basically maybe facing a bad situation by next year at USC. So $33 million, I think, guaranteed money for Andy. That was kind of a no-brainer. Eric Musselman has Southern California ties. He's always wanted that job. As soon as that job came open, I started texting Musk. I live in L.A., as do you. So you could see that happening. And what's interesting about the Arkansas situation, Rich, is their first choice was Chris Beard. And they're ready to pay him a lot of money. And Chris was not comfortable leaving Ole Miss after only 1 year. They went after Jerome Tang at Kansas State. He's only been there for 2 years. He was comfortable in his situation. He stayed there. So Calipari is their third choice. This came together in a very, very quick fashion. And it came together because of John Tyson, who's part of the Tyson Foods family, a billionaire who's longtime friends with John Calipari, went to Arkansas and said, let me make the call and see if we can put this together. And Calipari was all ears. Look, Calipari's been in Kentucky for 15 years. He's done an amazing job. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's a really, really good basketball coach. For a variety of reasons, many of which are not necessarily in his control, they flamed out in the NCAA tournament. And that's how teams are judged. I mean, they had a great season. It just so happened they lost to an Oakland team that played great, and it was a close game. You know, they win in that game. We're not even having this conversation. So I think 15 years is a long time for anybody to be in any job. For a coach like Calipari in a high-profile place like Kentucky, I think he saw an opportunity to move on, get a fresh start. I think it's good for him. I think it's good for Kentucky, because if Kentucky wanted to fire Calipari, it owed him $33 million. That's real money now. And so now they don't owe him a dime, and Arkansas doesn't have to pay a bot. So Arkansas gets a great coach and a fresh start. Kentucky gets a fresh start. It's good for Calipari. And frankly, I think it's good for college basketball. Change is good. I mean, this is what we're already kind of looking forward to next year when you know, Calipari takes his Arkansas team back into Rupp Arena. Now Kentucky's got to make a hire. And that's going to open up a lot of dominoes. So it's going to be a fast and furious couple weeks in college basketball.
Yeah, it's a lot of chicken, I'm sure, that got spent on a buyout, I'm assuming, Calipari to be free to do what he did last night. So before I let you go, who do you think is a fit for the Kentucky job, Seth?
I think it's going to be Scott Drew. I think, you know, Scott Drew has been at Baylor a long time. He has an economic buyout. It's under $5 million. And if you're Kentucky, you got to go get someone of that caliber. So I think that's the first place that you start. I think maybe you kick the tires on Danny Hurley, see what that situation looks like, see what UConn is prepared to do. You know, I think the guy who I think would crush it is Nate Oates, but he's got an $18 million buyout. That's a non-starter. Bruce Pearl is another one. So it's not, obviously, Kentucky is not just about the inside the rectangle of the basketball court, right? I mean, it's a big job. You need a big personality, someone who can understand everything that comes along with being the coach of Kentucky. There are not many. Bruce Pearl would be fantastic. He's got an eight-figure buyout as well. So it's a combination of who's a good coach, who's a good fit for the culture of the job, but then who's also economical, and who would take it. And so I think I'm going to make the prediction right now that it's going to be Scott Drew.
And then we're sharpieing UConn tonight, is what you're saying.
Well, let's not abuse the Sharpie now. If it leaves a stain. So we'll wait, but that is definitely my prediction that UConn wins. And for those who care, I think they will cover the point spread. I think they're going to win it emphatically. I just don't think that Purdue can handle the length, strength, and athleticism that UConn's going to throw at them.
Look at you talking to all my listeners and viewers. Thanks for the call.
I know. That's really everything I said. That's literally the only thing people wanted to know. Mostly so they can bet the opposite way. So the line's gonna move to Purdue because I just said that.
Pull a full Costanza. Thanks for the Zooms, Chef Seth, for this show and a couple weeks ago as well. We'll chat again soon. Thanks again, brother.
Always a pleasure.
That's Seth Davis. Let's turn our attention to the women's game right now. And one of my favorite human beings on the planet, as a colleague of mine from the NFL Media Group, but I'm introducing her as the third overall pick of the 2002 WNBA draft to the Washington Mystics, and whose number 21 hangs in the rafters at Oklahoma next to that of Mookie Blaylocks and Stacey Kings and Wayman Tisdale's the great Stacey Dales.
Yeah.
How are you, Stacey?
What's up? You're equally one of my favorite people in the world, Rich, and I'm getting ready for the solar eclipse, man.
Okay, hang in there. Don't look directly at it, but you knew that already. So your two cents on Caitlin Clark's legacy now that it does not include a national championship, Stacey.
Yeah, the legacy's just really, she's in the middle of it, Rich. I mean, it's far from over. What a delight to watch this young woman play the game of basketball. I don't know about you, but when I watch, I've been marveling at her for years. Like, she'll make a near half-court shot, Rich, and I just start laughing. I start giggling. Because I don't know about you guys when you watch this player, but you know, a long time ago, Rich, you know, we were both at ESPN, the worldwide leader, and I had a boss who in one of our college basketball meetings said, you know, I caution you to use the word unbelievable. Please, we overuse it. Please don't use it. Please don't use it. Only use it when it matters. And I use that word for her because I've never forgotten that. And I try to avoid that type of hyperbole in our business. And she's unbelievable, Rich. So her legacy's just really in the midst of it. And, you know, there's no wasted space. There's no wasted movement. She's incredibly efficient. You know, she rejuvenates herself on the defensive side, I understand. But she is something to behold when she is able to, you know, take all that work that she's put in. Because you don't just show up, Rich, and you know, give us those Steph Curry looks. In terms of how she shoots the basketball. You don't just show up and do that from day one. And as I've maintained, Lisa Bluter, her coach, who's one of my favorite coaches in women's basketball and has been for a long time at Iowa, you know, I really applaud her because imagine having a freshman, Rich, walk into your gym and start taking logo threes as a young player. I mean, I've had a lot of coaches, a lot of my pro coaches would have been like, Dales, yo, that ain't happening. And, Lisa has allowed her to be her, and I just think it's sensational what she's brought to the game.
Yeah, I giggle and laugh too. I have the same reaction too, Stacey, because you know the rim seems to suck the basketball in. You know what I mean? Like it just yeah. I don't know if it's the rotation, if it's the way she shoots. It's a way you know that you see with somebody like Curry, right? Like the ball just gets just sucked in. Right into the net that doesn't even move when she shoots the three.
And again, you don't, to be able to do that, that takes an incredible, like when I played Rich, the motto was get those toes as close to the three-point line as you can, because obviously the closer to the basket you are, the more efficient you are. Feels like when I watch her, she's more efficient the farther away she is. And it's just so fascinating to watch defensively what people have tried to do against her. I thought Connecticut really, Nika Mule had the best I've seen all season long. And I think Caitlin, even the broadcast shared, I don't know if it was Ryan Rucco or Rebecca Lobo, who, and Holly Rowe just did such an incredible job, but you know, that she may have said UConn defended her as well, and maybe West Virginia as well as anybody really ever has. And you have to face guard her when you are out at the half midpoint of the court, Rich. I mean, I had a coach, Michael Adams, in the WNBA, who's also a former player, great guy. And he and I used to play one-on-one all the time in the off season when I played for the Mystics. And he always did this thing to me, right? Mm-hmm. This, I don't know why players don't do that, because it's incredibly annoying, but you have to do that to her. You have to constantly have your hand right here. And then the energy it takes to defend her. I've never seen a player like it, honestly. I've never seen a women's player like it. Now, people want to have the greatest of all time conversations, all that. I remember being at the Super Bowl, Lindsey Vonn and Rich, somebody we love, and we had a conversation about the GOAT, and everybody has different interpretations of it. Mm-hmm. She's absolutely in the conversation. When Dawn Staley comes out in her celebratory interview post-game with Holly Rowe, which was so incredible, Dawn is, that's a whole other conversation.
Yep.
She comes out and gives credit to Caitlin Clark, who's back in the locker room. God knows what, you know, I remember losing the national championship game against Connecticut, and, you know, I saved my tears so nobody could see them. But, you know, for Dawn to come out and say she's just brought so much to this game and she is one of the GOATs of our game, need anybody say more?
Stacey Dale's here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what can you say about Dawn Staley that potentially we don't already know about? You're already hearing conversations about how the Charlotte Hornets should be knocking on her door, you know. So what do you think, Stacey?
Well, she's a flat out winner. Wherever she goes, you're going to win. It's just like Becky Hammond, who, by the way, was a great shooter. Oh my God. Dawn is one of the greatest competitors I've ever had to look into the eyes of, Rich. I did have the fortune of playing against her, and even if it was her tail end years professionally, she just looks at you on the court, and there's something different about her. It's like she wants to put the fear of God in you. I mean, Dawn Staley is fierce, and what she did, I know they get 5-star recruits there at South Carolina. Guess why? Who doesn't want to go play for Dawn Staley? Just like who doesn't want to go play for Gino Auriemma or Pat Summitt, right? Like the legendary, the late great Pat Summitt. I just think she is, whether she played the game, she was a coach on the floor, and, you know, to see her and now with 3 national championships, she deserves every bit of it. That was the right team to win. They had the most complete team, South Carolina over Iowa. And they were so deep. This full Wiley kid is going to be just spectacular to watch for the next several years as a freshman. I just think Dawn, and then everything Dawn represents, she's just class all the way. She's special, Rich. She's really special.
Well, we're seeing a lot of special right now out of the women's game. Stacey Dale's here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what is the challenge for Caitlin Clark now moving to the next level?
Well, blending into the locker room. She's not going to have a problem offensively. In the WNBA, the level of basketball, Rich, it's just, as I mean, it's the pros. I mean, everybody you're coming up against is the same size or bigger than you. And, you know, I had to figure out ways to become more clever as a player. It's going to be for her defensively. I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, you'll get your ego checked defensively in the WNBA very quickly. And you can't always take breaks defensively, because when you face the Las Vegas Aces, every single player will dominate you at any given point. So I think that's probably going to be the adjustment really for any rookie coming into the league, just like we see in the NFL. And You know, it's going to be fun to watch. She's going to continue to bring attention to the game. I think I kind of get shocked, Rich, when I hear some negativity around this player. There were so many, and there are so many great women's basketball players, Juju and Angel, and there's just so many. Beckers, like, how is there any negativity surrounding Caitlin Clark? What she's actually done is she's forced us to take a deeper dive into the history of women's basketball and have these conversations about the greatest players we've ever seen. You know, whether it be Shamequa Holtzclaw, Tamika Catchings, Elisa Leslie, Dawn Staley, you know, go back in time, like Nancy Lieberman, Cheryl Miller, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird. I mean, I could go on and on and on, and now we're seeing Asia Jones, like, or my girl Asia out in Las Vegas. Like, I think she's just continued to force people to understand this is a really great sport, and there's just so many champions of the sport. And I love how she's represented herself along the way.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just wondering, and before I let you go here, Stacey, if we've seen a sea change here in respect for the women's game right now, with the ratings that we just saw over the weekend. I mean, SNL even made a joke about the men's college basketball bracket isn't as interesting as the women's. I'm wondering if you see it, or you think we have seen something different right now.
I don't know if we're seeing a total change here. And I meant Asia Wilson, by the way. I played with Asia Jones. I think what we're just seeing, Rich, is just how good the basketball is because the eyeballs are on it. You know, when I played, we didn't have all the social media and all the national attention from a television standpoint. It's been there on the men's side for a very long time. So, I mean, I can't wait to watch this game tonight between Connecticut and Purdue. By the way, Danny Hurley is just kind of reminds me a little bit of Mike McDaniel, Rich. He's just got that sort of swag about him. I don't know. But yeah, I just think there's just, when you have players like this, they're transcendent, of course. What she did for that program at Iowa it's incredible. I mean, to go to back-to-back national championships, I think what she also does is says to not just young female players, but young male players, like, I got to figure out how to shoot like that. And so they're in gyms working on that stuff right now. And that means that those kids coming up are going to be able to do, you know, the more we see this, the more they're going to be able to do it. And it's just a wonderful domino effect. So I think, yeah, there's going to be a lot of change because of Caitlin Clark, but there's certainly been a lot of great players along the way. I mean, I don't think you're going to pick a better point guard than Sue Bird on a basketball team. Like it's there's been so many greats, and hopefully we'll see more to come. I think it's awesome.
You're the best, Stacey. Have you on before the draft talking about the Bears, but I've run out of time just talking about college basketball with you. I love it. And we'll find out if your McDaniel Hurley analogy is correct. If he shows up wearing capri pants tonight, that would be great.
I don't know about that, but you know how I feel about you. Got you, Rich. Love you.
Right back at you. Stace, we'll chat in the next couple weeks. Take care.
Yeah.
The great Stacey Dales right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break. Back with more here setting up hour number two. Ross Tucker in studio, Overreaction Monday and more.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
it's kind of difficult to describe to people who are unfamiliar with it,
have
as you might
met
have been.
Patrick Mahomes?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
Yes, I have met Patrick Mahomes.
He's one of my heroes.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Oh. Okay.
I root for that team, even though I've never lived there.
Yes.
I think he is just phenomenal to watch.
Apropos of
nothing. But
I was going to talk about the season finale of Barry, and you were talking about the season finale.
No,
of two
and
Super
I was
Bowls
hoping
ago.
Patrick was in it.
Next time you come on,
yes,
we'll make sure Mahomes is on the phone. We'll do that.
Truly,
you like him that much, huh?
I think that his ability is such a cut above. He is so passionate in the way he plays.
Yes.
He is so improvisorial in the way he plays. He is so sure. I just think it is instinctually great, actually.
Okay. Well, he now knows that, and we will make sure that we'll make this happen.
Yeah.
It would be my
does
honor.
Does he listen?
Yes.
Patrick, hi.
He does. How are you? These things...
So can I just say, no, if Patrick is listening, I'd like to, you know, we make a great chicken stuffed with ricotta and spinach.
Yes.
With an unbelievable reduction. It can be yours if you're here in L.A.
Well, the Chiefs come play the Chargers, right? The Chiefs
they
play
do.
The Chargers.
They do, actually.
We'll make this happen.
Those guys are good, too.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they are.
They are not Mahomes.
That is correct. And the Chiefs have not lost the Super Bowl since we introduced Patrick Mahomes to Henry Winkler and vice versa.
Good point.
You're welcome, Kansas City. You're welcome. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I love Stacey Dales. She's a badass.
Yes.
You just when you hang with her and you know at the combine or the draft or any of the games that we've covered together internationally and nationally, you just forget. Oh, that's right. Her numbers in the rafters in Oklahoma, and she was the third overall pick of the WNBA draft, and she, you know, she lost to UConn. Did she lose to Lobo? Is that the UConn team that she lost to?
Great question. Let me check.
Is that that may be. I just remember showing up to ESPN, getting ready to start my SportsCenter career, moving to Central Connecticut, having no idea what it was like to live in Central Connecticut. And a friend of mine says, let's go out to a bar tonight. We go there, and people were packed in the bar, shoulder to shoulder, rows deep to try and get to the bar to watch UConn basketball. And I'm not talking men's. I'm talking women's. The place was nuts. And they still are.
Yeah.
She lost to Taurasi and Sue Bird.
Okay. Ooh. So she knows when she's like, who's a better point guard than Sue Bird?
Maybe the greatest women's team ever. They were 39-0.
And their cast, their alt cast is a fun watch. They had Sudeikis on it nonstop.
Well, when you make Sue Bird drink every time.
It's fun.
Can I say it? Cock is said? Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that part I missed.
Yeah. So that was happening.
Well, I mean, when South Carolina is involved, you're hearing that quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Great name.
That's what I mean.
Oh my goodness gracious. Sue's going to come on in advance of the WNBA season, which is early July.
Amazing.
So that's coming. I'm telling you.
Oh, wait till they.
My daughter Taylor. Hey, do you want to go when Caitlin Clark comes to town? She's like, yes, please. Yes, please. So things are changing, although in terms of the eyeballs, you just heard Stacey basically say it's been some great basketball for 30 plus years, at least. So hour number two coming up, we've got we'll turn the page away from college basketball for the next couple hours because we got football on the brain. We got Overreaction Monday coming up next segment, and I was out of the chair when the hell going on. Stephon Diggs gets traded to the Houston Texans. I'll give you my two cents on that subject matter. Ross Tucker in studio, Albert Breer behind him. Still here on the Roku channel.
Which I did a top five hell going ons.
What were your top fives?
Gone. I forget.
Oh, my God.
Brockman's got a drop.
Very memorable.
Custom made.
What is that?
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Brockman's.
Top five.
Oh, God. We got to upgrade that. It's very creepy.
Quick. We made it quick. We made it quick, Rich.
We did make it.
It was down and dirty.
We did make it really quick.
So TJ Jefferson's waiting on an Uber.
Oh,
all right.
That was a song.
What's his rating?
I'm stoked.
Waiting on an Uber.
He's waiting on an Uber right now.
Waiting on an Uber.
Getting ready to join us during the party. Fresh back.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. So he's coming back from WrestleMania.
Woo.
Here are my top five moves. Ready? Real quick. Number five was the Titans actually spending money.
Okay.
Four, Packers revamped backfield.
Yes.
Saquon going down I-95 joins the Eagles.
Yeah.
Steelers new QB room.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
And then the Diggs trade. And then one more was the Cowboys not doing anything.
That is kind of...
kind of like, what the hell's going on here?
The hell going on?
I mean... Yeah.
You know, Cowboys not doing anything would not have been as jarring
if they didn't say it.
If he didn't say we're going all in.
Right.
And the idea of saying we're going all in wasn't by going all in with other players on the to add to the current roster to supercharge the current roster. It's saying we're going all in on just this roster.
Yep.
That I did not see coming. There you go. I can't believe that list still works.
All in.
It's still valid. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer, looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the rotor, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.